بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still discussing the chapter that deals with the prayer of the eclipse, and we went through the description and some of the things related to it. And the hadith with us today, which was narrated by Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, also explains how this prayer was performed. And the brother, inshallah, would read the hadith for us.
Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, there was a solar eclipse in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He stood up to pray and remained standing for a very long time. He then bowed and remained bending over for a very long time. He then raised his head and stood for some time, but not as long as on the first occasion. He then bowed and remained bending over for some time, but not as long as on the first occasion. He prostrated and prolonged the prostration twice. He did the same in the second rak'ah as he did in the first, and then finished the prayer. By then, the sun eclipse had cleared. Then he delivered a khutbah. He praised Allah, lauded him, and said, "The sun and the moon are two signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not eclipsed on the account of anyone's death or on account of anyone's birth. So when you see them, remember Allah and say takbir, offer salat, and give sadaqah. O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none is more indigent than Allah. So He has forbidden that His slaves, male or female, commit fornication. O people of Muhammad, by Allah, if you knew what I know, you would weep much and laugh little." Bukhari, in another narration, has, "He completed 4 bowings and 4 prostrations."
Jazakallah khair. The long hadith emphasizes on how to pray, how to offer the eclipse prayer. And as stated before, you read in it 4 times the Fatiha and 4 times a surah or a portion of the surah after the Fatiha. You have 4 bowings in 2 rak'ahs, and you have 4 prostrations in 2 rak'ahs. And in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ prolonged all of his bowings, his standing up, his prostrations, so it would be quite long, but everyone was shorter than the one before it. So the first one was the longest, the second was a little bit shorter, the third and the fourth were shorter than all the previous ones. And the Prophet ﷺ instructed them, after giving this salat, he gave them a khutbah. He gave them a sermon, and scholars differed on the ruling of such a sermon. Is it part of the sunnah? Is it mandatory? There is no need for it at all. Some of the scholars said that there is no need for it at all. Other scholars say the eclipse was offered once at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he offered also a sermon. So if I had offered another prayer where he offered a sermon or did not offer a sermon, we could have determined. But because he only offered one eclipse prayer and he offered or gave a sermon afterwards, then most likely we have to explain, in the sense that if there is a need, then it is recommended to have a sermon. And if there is no need, then people would be engaged in reciting the Quran, making dhikr. Also, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us, whenever we see the eclipse of either the sun or the moon, to do what? To pray and to give charity, to give sadaqah, and to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal. So it is an occasion of repentance. It is an occasion of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is an occasion to give money to the poor and to the needy. And from the different narrations, we learn that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was very quick to react to what we call now natural phenomena. In the sense that whenever he saw clouds accompanied by wind, he used to go down on his knees, raising his hands and supplicating to Allah not to send his anger and destruction. And Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, used to say, "O Prophet of Allah, people, when they see these clouds, they're happy because it's a sign of rain and people enjoy and love and call for rain. Yet when you see such thing, you fall on your knees and you're frightened." And he said, "Yes, O Aisha, how would I guarantee that Allah Azza wa Jal did not send punishment and torment in such clouds? Because in the Quran, people saw this and said, 'Aridun mumtiruna.' This is a cloud or a group of clouds that we will have rain." And they did not know that in it was a severe and painful punishment. So this indicates to us that the Prophet ﷺ used to fear Allah a lot, though in our calculations, he had nothing to fear Allah for, because he was obedient, he was the chosen one, he was the closest to Allah, and he's the beloved messenger of Allah. Yet this coincides with the ayah, "Innama yakhsha Allaha min ibadihi al-ulama," that verily only those who have knowledge fear Allah among his servants. And what kind of knowledge is this? The knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. It's not the knowledge of calculus or physics or chemistry. Though they are beneficial to the Ummah, to the Muslims, yet this knowledge does not draw you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, generally speaking. The knowledge that draws you closer to Allah is the knowledge of Allah, of His attributes, of His beautiful names, of the Quran, of the Sunnah. And that is why he said, "I am the most among you who fear Allah, and I am the most knowledgeable of Allah." What did he say? Two things: fear and knowledge. And you cannot have them separated. The more you know Allah, the more fearful you of Him. And this is exactly how the Prophet used to react, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he had knowledge of Allah, and he knew the greatness of Allah, and he knew how Allah would be angered, and when Allah is angry, nothing stands in His way, subhanahu azza wa jal. Yet He is fair and just. Nevertheless, He owns us, and we to Him belong, and we shall to Him return. Also in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us about al-ghayrah. Ghayrah means jealousy. So when I have ghayrah over my wife, meaning that I do not want people to look at her, and I would not want her to speak with other non-mahram men, I would feel jealous about this. Now, this is one of Allah's beautiful attributes. However, we know that the names and attributes of Allah are similar to nothing. Nothing is similar to them. And that is why Allah says, "Laysa kamithlihi shay'un." There is nothing like Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, He is the most hearing, the most seeing. But we understand it as it was described. And therefore, the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, and this is the Prophet used to believe, and his companions and all the great scholars of Islam, they believe that we describe Allah as He described Himself and as His Prophet described Himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, without any changing and without any description and without any deviation, changing the meaning into something that is not the same, among other things. What does this mean? We have description about Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is Sami'un Basir. He's all hearing and all seeing. Now, is Allah's hearing and seeing similar to ours? Definitely not. Though Allah described the humans in Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطُفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Okay, Allah is Sami' Basir and the humans are Sami' Basir. Are there any similarities? No. But we know that the description is, or the beautiful attribute, that Allah hears and that Allah sees. Yet His hearing and seeing is unlike us. We know that our mighty Allah Azza wa Jal has two hands. Yet part of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that you believe in this attribute, believing in the attribute that Allah has two hands. However, we do not say His hands are like these. Five fingers, astaghfirullah. This is simulating. This is haram. And we do not say, no, He does not have hands. Because Allah described Himself to having hands in the Quran. We do not say, yes, He has hands, but they are not what we know as hands. They mean that it's a favor or a blessing. As in the Arabs say, I have a hand over you, meaning that I have done something for you, so you owe me. But this is un-Arabic, and linguistically it's completely not possible. So we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has hands, yet we do not simulate it, we do not compare it to other. We believe in it as it is, because it is one of the great attributes of Allah. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah we'll be right back.